Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Chris Gasper, and welcome to Season Ticket. It's Thursday, December 21st. There's some drama brewing at Gillette Stadium between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, as Bill Belichick has now banned Tom Brady's body coach and personal health guru, Alex Guerrero, from the Patriots team plane and from the sidelines. To help me break this down, we now bring in Boston Globe sports columnist Dan Shaughnessy. Who loves drama more than Dan Shaughnessy? Dan, thanks for joining us here on Season Ticket.
Nice to be back here with you, Chris.
So, Dan, what do you make of this situation? Here we have the two biggest protagonists of the Patriots dynasty potentially butting heads here. You have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You know that fans have debated for years who is more responsible for the Patriots' success, who's more responsible for those five Super Bowls. Guerrero is somebody who is the godfather to Brady's son, Ben. He's obviously very close to Tom, but here is Bill Belichick as the head coach basically saying, this guy is persona non grata when it comes to being around the team, being on the team plane, as I mentioned, and being on the sidelines, which is, these are things that Alex Guerrero has been able to do in the past freely.
Right. I think that, you know, the Patriots media cartel out there saying nothing to see here, you know, move along, poo-poo in the story. I was amazed it wasn't more, you know, I wasn't down there, so that's on me, but I was amazed there weren't more questions about this yesterday, subsequent to Bob Holder's page one story. And we all know the story's been out there. It's been kicking around on talk radio and different mediums discussing this estrangement that's down there, which makes a lot of sense. And as recently, you know, I mean, you had Jonathan Kraft on your very fine program, pregame program, over the weekend. And I would submit that when John said there's no issue, that the lie detector would explode if that were put to the test on that. So he knows what's going on down there. But I also understand them not wanting to give it up and explain this rift. And, you know, Bill's not going to go there. We understand that. Brady came pretty close on his contractually obligated radio station when he said he had no comment on a change in that relationship, but then he went back to how much he loves Alex Guerrero, which we understand he does, and good for him, and all that sort of thing. I just think that as you started off with your at the top here, the two most important figures of the Patriot dynasty, Belichick and Brady, they're not in agreement on something that's very important to Brady particularly, and I think that what's happened, I think the shift is it got to be too many guys, got to be too many other players saying to the Patriots training staff, you know, Alex says don't do it this way, or Tom wants me to go see Alex, that kind of thing. And Bill was like, you know what, enough of this. And we're not going to have an opportunity to watch the travel thing. There won't be any more travel this year until the Super Bowl, chances are. But his presence on the sideline, we know he's still a presence in the locker room. I mean, he was in the locker room last week strolling through, and we know that Tom is never leaving his side. So Tom is going to find a way. And I tried to check out when we were in Pittsburgh if Alex was in. We were in the hotel with the Patriots, oddly enough, and Alex was not, and at least they didn't ring his room when you called him. So I don't know to what level, but I think he's always around. I don't think Tom goes anywhere far from his side, and I expect when they go to Minnesota for the Super Bowl, there'll be a place for Alex somewhere. It just might not be on the sideline or in the team hotel.
Yeah, I mean, our colleague Bob Holder, who reported this story, did mention in that piece that, you know, Alex Guerrero has an office at Gillette Stadium, and he has treated players in that office in the past. And now with what's going on with the Patriots, he still has that office and he's still allowed to treat a player. It's Tom Brady. He's not allowed to treat other players inside the walls of Gillette Stadium. He can treat those players at the TB12 Sports Therapy Center at Patriot Place, which is the business that Alex Guerrero and Tom Brady have. And really the whole TB12 brand, you know, the cookbook, the TB12 method, sort of lifestyle manual, you know, hack your life with Tom Brady, who's a 40-year-old quarterback who's playing like a 30-year-old quarterback. That whole thing. So when you look at this, Tom is enmeshed with this guy on a number of levels. He believes in him. He believes in Guerrero, who's somebody who is a proponent of alternative medicine. I think that's the fairest way to put it. And alternative methods, things like alkaline diet and stuff like that. This is not only somebody he trusts with his career, he trusts with his health, but it's also his business partner. So if you're Tom and you're looking at your head coach in Bill Belichick, who basically is saying, you know, I don't know if we want this guy around the way we've had him around in the past, that potentially could affect not only your career now, but also what you do after football. And I wonder if the building of that brand, Dan, is something that, because I feel like the TB12 brand has been more in our face this year than ever. And I wonder if that was part of the impetus for this from Belichick. Everything you said about the training staff is right. We know Bob Holder reported in the past that the training staff has been upset with Alex Guerrero being around and at least ostensibly giving conflicting advice to players on health. But I wonder, that's been happening. That's not new. Is there something new that happened this year that sort of set Belichick off to say, no, we're going to restrict this guy's access to the team?
I think more guys wanting to go to see Alex Guerrero is new, just an increasing number of guys. I think the possibility that Tom is sending guys there, I think the possibility that players are defying the orders of the Patriot training staff and saying, well, Alex wants to do it this way. I think that's where Bill reached the enough point with this. What you say about the brand and the TB12, yes, in our face more than ever, clearly very important to Tom for his next life. Clearly something he believes in. He wants to make this his life's mission. It's just unfortunate that he would attach himself to a quack, a guy who has been sanctioned by the FDA, a guy who has been caught, you know, presenting himself as a doctor when he's not a doctor, a guy who is the easiest guy. The more light that they shine on TB12 and Alex Guerrero, the worse it gets for Alex Guerrero and TB12, because it just looks like, why would Tom Brady be in business with this guy? And again, I'm sure he's good for Tom, whether that's the placebo effect or the pliability, and it's all working for him. Good, knock yourself out. Well, Edelman and Hightower are part of the TB12, and they're both out for the year. So it doesn't work the same for everybody, and that's nobody's fault. But this notion that you can become bulletproof by joining TB12 and get up there and you won't get a concussion and you won't have any injuries is nonsense. And I just question what they're selling. I think it's a little bit scary for young people to think that you can insulate yourself against injury. I'm not sure that's a good message. And the association, again, every time we go into the clip file or the research on Alex Guerrero, you remember some things that they'd rather not have dragged up again. I mean, we all make mistakes when we're young, but that's not a good resume.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those things just to get the facts out on the table with Alex Guerrero. In 2003, the FTC sanctioned him for marketing a beverage that he falsely claimed could prevent or cure cancer, heart disease, arthritis, and diabetes. He had to walk back from that claim, which was obviously false. In 2014, the FTC shut down the sales of a drink called NeuroSafe. This was a drink that Guerrero promoted and that Brady was endorsing that was marketed as a drink that could help prevent and heal concussions. So he had to back down from that. He's been sanctioned in the past for falsely presenting his credentials, his medical credentials, I guess is the easiest way to put it. In the past, Tom has looked at all this stuff and sort of said, hey, you know, this is somebody who made mistakes in the past. But again, this stuff happened. And I understand that people are skeptical of Alex Guerrero, and I think that's fair. On the other hand, I know people that have gone there, and it's worked for them, sure. The TB12 thing. Obviously, it works for Brady. So, again, I want to know what's changed, because all this stuff, the Patriots knew this stuff. Belichick knew this. Right. He knew about the 2003 and the 2014, and I know you're saying more players are going to him now, but more players were going to him during the year. This is not something that happened in September or October. This is like something that is recent. It has happened in November. The first time I can remember sort of looking out there and being like, where's Alex Guerrero, was the December 3rd game against the Bills. So who resets their medical policy and medical staff in the middle of a season?
Chris, I was told that the tipping point came when one of the players, an important player, wanted to work out with Tom and was told by Tom, go see Alex first and, you know, to stay after practice and work with Tom. And that was the tipping point. So I don't know that. I can't prove that. It's been denied by people up there, and I don't blame them. But that's an example of something that could have been the tipping point. Something made Bill say, enough, no more, and we're not doing it. And you can be sure the team medical people, the team training people, have been wanting Bill to draw this line for quite some time, because it flies in the face of what they're trying to do and the work that they're trying to do.
And it undermines what they're doing, because you have players getting conflicting information at times, or maybe questioning what the medical staff is saying, or questioning whether the medical staff, and this has been going on for years in the NFL with the players, you know, they look at it and say, okay, the medical staff, who do they work for? Who pays their salary? Right. Whose best interest do they have in mind? Sure. So if you have somebody else in there who's saying, I know they're telling you that, but I'm not sure that's the right thing to do. It could be an honest disagreement about traditional medicine versus alternative medicine, but in a player's mind, it might be, ooh, well, this guy doesn't work for the team. You know, he's sort of working for me or working for Tom. And these guys work for the team. Maybe I'll go with Alex's thing. I want to go back to what you just said, though. You said there's an important player who wanted to work out with Tom. What do you mean work out with Tom Brady? Like stay after practice?
Yes.
Okay.
In that frame. Like Edelman used to do.
Okay.
You know, he's not
like
there
catch passes or do resistance bands or.
I wouldn't want to qualify that.
Okay.
Because we don't know that it's true.
Because I've definitely seen players. The only reason I asked that, Dan, is I've definitely seen players. Like, I wouldn't think you'd have to ask Alex Guerrero if you wanted to stick around after practice and catch passes from Tom Brady. You know, then we have a problem at that point. But if you want to do resistance band work and other stuff, then I could see that. And that could be a situation where, with what you're saying, that really would drive Bill crazy. Because it's like, who is this guy to say, among my players who can and can't stay after and work with my quarterback.
Or if the quarterback is the one saying he doesn't want to work with people unless they're going to Alex.
Yeah, that would be a real issue. And I've also sort of thought...
That's a hypothetical, to be fair.
Okay.
But I'm just... You're asking for what changed, and I'm submitting that might have been what changed.
Well, the other thing I'm curious about with this situation is Tom Brady's had this Achilles injury. There was a report by Jeff Howe with the Boston Herald that it was a bruised Achilles. And the week before the Miami game, he missed two practices. And then he went out and submitted his worst performance of the season, and they lost. He took those days because he needed rest. Who prescribed the rest? The Patriots training staff or Alex Guerrero?
Sure, the maintenance days. I don't know. I'm taking a lot of maintenance days here during Christmas time, my own self here at the Globe. It's important to have those. But, yeah, and those went away. And, again, and Tom, in his interview on Monday after the game, he was adamant that he felt 100%. He never felt healthier. This is the day after the game. He's not having that hard to get out of bed after a tough game in Pittsburgh. It was almost like delivering a message. I'm just reminding all of you that my guy is perfect and I am perfect. And as long as I am allowed to do this, this is going to stay perfect. So don't mess with it. I thought he went out of his way to talk about how great he felt on Monday, because I think the walls are closing in on this thing a little bit. There's going to be a lot of national media scrutiny as they get into the playoffs. And, you know, this start, if you go back, I mean, ESPN, the magazine, said there's trouble in Dodge down there.
Seth Wickersham had said that. And Belichick was asked about that and denied it.
Of course, they deny everything, much like your whopping interview with Jonathan Kraft last Sunday.
Yeah, we did ask him about it, and he said he wasn't aware of a problem. And, of course, this week it seems like with Bob Holler's report in the Boston Globe, that is clearly contrary to what Jonathan Kraft said on Patriots Preview. There's no question about that. I do want to go back to something here quickly, which is, again, and you've spoken about what has changed, but the relationship between the Patriots and Patriots players and Alex Guerrero goes way back. In fact, it predates Tom Brady. It goes back to Willie McGinnis, former Patriot Willie McGinnis. He was the guy that found Alex Guerrero. Willie was having a lot of problems with muscle pulls and groin injuries, stuff like that. He found Alex Guerrero and started working with him, and that was 17 years ago. So, again, any concerns the Patriots had over the years about Alex Guerrero and his advice, they've had plenty of opportunity to say, we don't want this guy around the team. You can't be treating our players. They gave the guy an office inside the stadium. So I just want to point that out, because the things we're raising, I think, are legitimate issues. And I understand what you're saying, and I like what you're saying in terms of here's what changed. And look, there's a situation where maybe Guerrero's overstepping his bounds. But this has been going on for a long time. So clearly something changed here to make Bill Belichick say, I've had enough. I'm done with this guy. Because this is a long-standing relationship, and this laundry list of concerns and complaints in the Bob Holler story, he mentions that you have people from the training staff who went to Belichick and complained. And in Holler's story, it basically has Bill saying, well, what do you want me to do? He's Tom's guy. Tom wants him. That's the end of it. Well, he's still Tom's guy. Tom still wants him. And they're banning him from the team playing in the sidelines. That's a big, I don't care what anybody says, that's a big story.
Sure. And I think it's just, it got to be too many players. It got to be too much tension. And the notion that they were losing control of their own room with the medical and training.
All right, we're going to have much more with Dan Shaughnessy on this topic. We'll discuss how Bill Belichick has addressed it publicly. Also, we want to take a look ahead to the Patriots game on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. The Bills, this time of year, normally they have nothing to play for. They have something to play for on Sunday against the Patriots, and it's not just revenge against Rob Gronkowski. Stay tuned for that discussion. Welcome back to Season Ticket. Season Ticket is now available on Spotify. So if you want to listen to us there, all you have to do is this. Just search for Season Ticket, hit the follow button, done. Of course, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe there. You can also subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, subscribing is the best way to make sure you get our latest episode as soon as it's available. All right, back now with Dan Shaughnessy. We're going to continue to discuss the potential rift between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick over Brady's body coach, Alex Guerrero. As I mentioned, Belichick was asked about this on Wednesday in a very awkwardly phrased question, to be honest.
Terrible.
And he sort of deflected it, which my history with Bill is if you make a mistake in a question, if the syntax of the question isn't correct, Dan, or there's something you say in the question that isn't 100% accurate, he will take that one small thing and use it to discredit the entire line of questioning. I thought that was what he did.
Coach, would you say that Tom's relationship with his trainer is like if your adult son or child who's hanging out with somebody you didn't really care for all that much? I mean, it's your adult child. What are you supposed to say?
not really sure the question. I mean, you're talking about my children. I don't really think that's appropriate here. I'm trying to coach a football team.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make it per. I was just thinking.
What are we talking about here?
I just meant, is it something that kind of frustrates you because it takes the focus off of him taking coaching from you, in your opinion?
You know, there's a lot of pronouns there. Like, I don't really know who's talking about what.
I wasn't there, so I can't be in the business of criticizing other people's questions or non-questions in this case, which was astounding to me. Had this been a New York situation, they would have been peppered for like 10, 15 questions on the same topic. But nobody wants any trouble down there. So you had the odd question about if it were your adult son, and that was that allowed Bill to go into a whole. He has an adult son who's on the coaching staff.
Yes.
And why would you be talking about personal issues like that, which is not what the question was trying to get to?
Sure.
But the unfortunate phrasing of that did what you just said. It allowed him to weaponize the question against the query and then blow the whole thing out of the water and just get into something else, and to the point where it was not even included in the transcript. So basically, nothing happened regarding that. I understand he's not going to talk about it. I thought, had I been there, I would have tried to say, Bill, there was a report in this morning's Globe about this change in philosophy and you know, Alex Guerrero being there and not being there. You know, could you comment on that? And he's not going to, but you got to give him a chance to not comment on it or qualify it, or God forbid, expand on the thought, which we know we're not going to get. But I thought it was an unfortunate session all around.
One of the interesting things about this situation here is that we're talking about Brady and Belichick, but there's a third party here that pays both their salaries, and that's the Kraft family and Patriots owner Robert Kraft, and where he would sort of fall in this. And what's interesting about that is that there is a business relationship between Alex Guerrero, Tom Brady, and Robert Kraft outside of the Patriots, and that's TB12 being at Patriot Place.
Yeah, this has always interested me, and I don't have the I don't know how public this kind of is, private company. But the notion that he has the space there on campus at Patriot Place, I've always suspected this is somehow them circumventing the NFL salary cap again. There's always this notion that Tom takes less money. Oh, what a guy. Tom allows him to do more things and get more players because he's not making as much money as Peyton Manning or Stafford or any of these guys. And so I wonder if the deal really is because his guy gets this primo space there, and if it's some sweetheart deal. I don't have the numbers on that. I don't know if people can get them. I'm not an investigative reporter, but I'm suspicious of it because it just strikes me as some sort of a backhanded deal.
So let's be fair here, and that's a legitimate point. People have brought that up, but Bob Holler, the same person who had this story on Alex Grill, looked into that in 2015. He contacted the NFL on it, and they said it was not a violation of the salary cap.
It's not money laundering of any kind.
I'm just putting that out there. Yeah. That's what NFL... Look, NFL says lots of things that I think are inaccurate, Dan.
Yeah.
But Holler delved into that in 2015 with Guerrero. He asked the NFL on the record, and on the record they said they did not view that arrangement as a violation of the salary cap.
If Bill Polian was still running the Colts, would be all over that thing.
Well, the competition. Mike Tomlin's on the competition committee, so maybe they're going to want to take that up.
We got to tell him that they got 13 seconds left first. See how he can do with that first.
So we've been talking about this issue, and here's something else that could potentially play into it: the Jimmy Garoppolo trade, which I think took a lot of people by surprise. Jimmy Garoppolo traded to the San Francisco 49ers right at the trade deadline. People weren't expecting that. And again, you know, this is speculation. I'd say informed speculation here. But Bill Belichick was not enthused about trading Jimmy Garoppolo. And when you look at the situation with Tom Brady and Robert Kraft, they have a very close relationship. And that's one way that Brady can circumvent Belichick's authority. This I do know, that on past contracts, Brady and Kraft have basically negotiated them, at least the framework of them directly, cutting out Belichick, Nick Caserio, and even Brady's agent, Don Yee. And his last contract extension, signed in 2016, took him through the 2019 season. Before that extension, he had a deal that was set to expire after this year, the same as Jimmy's, which would have put Bill in a situation where he could choose which quarterback he wanted. That kind of got taken out of his hands by Robert Kraft and with this contract extension. I wonder if part of this is Belichick resenting the fact that he was forced to trade Garoppolo. He didn't really get to choose between Garoppolo and Brady. That choice was made for him by Brady and Brady's relationship with Robert Kraft and ownership.
Sure, you got Bob Kraft saying, well, you got Tom saying, where's the loyalty? And Bob Kraft saying, I'll show you the loyalty. we'll have Jimmy's ass traded out of town. You know, and again, we are just spitballing here, hypothetical, we know this. But you want to start trying to connect dots and why things are changing, why this seems estranged with your coach and quarterback. Well, you could say that Belichick was forced to trade the guy that he drafted, smart everybody else. He cultivated, had him here 3.5 years, and now he's gone. And they get a bag of balls for him, equivalently. You know,
second-round pick.
But he's out there winning. He's 5-0 as a starter. He's lighting it up for them.
3-0 and, you know, the 49ers.
There's a notion, oh, my God, is this the next Aaron Rodgers? Did they let this guy go? What's going on here? And, yes, that's not a deal Bill wanted to make. We know that. He held his nose to do it, found a good place for him, got him out of the conference, did all those things. But in my view, he did not want to make that deal. Ben Volen of the Globe still thinks they could have kept both of them at all, you know, $50 million for the two of them, all that sort of thing, and still made it work. But Tom, as a demonstrator of loyalty, did not want him here. And the owner, who will always do what Tom wants, chose Tom over his coach in this, which goes back to the whole problem that we started off with.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly could be. And when you look at this deal, here's a couple of things about when they traded Garoppolo. One, he traded him to the NFC. When he traded Drew Bledsoe, he traded him in the division.
He wanted to play him twice a year.
Yeah, he wanted to play him. So that tells you how much respect he has for Garoppolo. He didn't want him to hurt the Patriots, so he ships him over to the NFC. So, again, I think it's hard to look at this and say this was a deal he wanted to make, and maybe that's some friction between Brady and Belichick. Who knows?
But this whole situation with Guerrero was strange.
He did.
He didn't find a home for Jamie Collins last year.
Oh, no.
To Siberia.
All those other guys got exiled. Even Mike Vrabel in 2009. He sends Vrabel to the Kansas City Chiefs, who were terrible. He sent Richard Seymour to the Oakland Raiders when they were terrible. Most of these guys get exiled. Logan Mankins to the Buccaneers. And I know the 49ers are terrible, but I also know Bill respects Kyle Shanahan, the head coach there, a lot, and he respects John Lynch, the GM. You're right about finding a home. All right, quickly, I do want to talk a little bit about this game on Sunday between the Patriots and the Buffalo Bills. As I mentioned, it's rare this time of year for the Bills to have something to play for, but they're 8-6 here, and in the thick of playoff contention, they can make the playoffs for the first time since 1999.
That would be the last century. That would be the 20th century.
That is correct. So when you look at this, you'd think they might be out for revenge against Rob Gronkowski because of what he did to Tre'Davious White, that cheap play after the whistle where he concussed Tre'Davious White in the first matchup between these teams this year. But it seems like all the rhetoric coming out of Buffalo is they're more focused on trying to get the win here and make the playoffs than get some sort of retribution against Gronk, which I think is good for the Patriots because that should mean they're not going to be trying to take him out and take out his knees and ruin the Patriots season. They're focused on their own season.
Yeah, it's good for everybody. It makes that game, you know, more enjoyable to watch because Buffalo has so much at stake. It's unusual for them this late in the year to have a lot at stake, as you say, have not been in the playoffs in this century. Big game for their fans. And, yeah, the nonsense. Hey, Gronk deserves to have to look over his shoulder after what he did. But that goes away, in my view, in this game, unless the game gets out of hand. I just think the Bills are going to be focused on winning this game. And you know what? Based on what they saw in Pittsburgh, they're probably thinking they can make a they can gash these guys. They can make a run at them and go to 9-6. It would be, you know, Buffalo heaven. So I think that it takes away the whole revenge thing, and you're not going to have the beanball war with Gronk starting off in this game.
Yeah, it's not going to be like the Red Sox and the Orioles, that whole thing that devolved into silliness and really got a little bit dangerous. So I give Buffalo coach Sean McDermott a lot of credit because it's clear to me that he has control of that locker room, and he has been able to steer them in a direction where they're not talking about this Gronkowski thing in terms of revenge. Because remember, Tre'Davious White before was very upset about what happened with Gronkowski and called him a dirty player. He has completely walked back from those comments, and the Bills are all about playing the game.
Absolutely. Good job by the staff there. And all that went away magically in the week between last week and this week. Great.
How often can you say that about I can't believe what you just said. We're talking about the Buffalo Bills, and you said, good job by the staff there.
I know.
When can you say that?
I know. Well, they're 8-6. We've given them their props here. I mean, they're trying to defy the tomato can division here this week and you know, get back in the playoffs.
What's the next step up, Dan, from tomato can? Because I think they might be graduating. You go from tomato can to what?
Well,
what other can good?
How about the division is contested when we're in December? That there's some chance that they might not win the division. It's not like signing up for Facebook to win the AFC East.
I like that. That's great. That's great. The one and only Dan Shaughnessy joining us here on Season Ticket. You can find more of Dan's thoughts on Twitter. His handle is Dan_Shaughnessy. Dan, always fun to talk with you.
This is great, Chris. Take care, man.
Finally, the cheap seats. What's a catch? That's a question that some NFL players, coaches, and fans are asking after the controversial ending to the Patriots' win over the Pittsburgh Steelers last Sunday. The NFL needs to make its catch rule easier to grasp. It should be the old standard of late Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart. You know it when I see it. Football observers think they see clear catches now, only for the NFL's onerous standard of surviving the ground to tell them otherwise. Officials in the Pittsburgh game got the Jesse James ruling right by the rules. But just because something is a rule, that doesn't mean it's right. The current rule is designed to make catches black and white for the officials and black and white stripes. But they get paid to sort out the game's shades of gray. That is their job. If not, why do we need officials at all? The rule should recognize the incredible athleticism of NFL players, their ability to perform multiple actions at high speed. Yes, it's possible for them to catch a ball and extend it out for the goal line in what looks like, to the naked eye, one fell swoop. But that's actually two actions and not one. With slow motion replay review, it's easier to tell if a player was just going to the ground to catch a ball or if he was lunging forward on his own volition. The catch rule is the letter of the law in the NFL. We all know that. But we also all know that not all laws are fair or just. That's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell a friend and leave us a review. I'm Chris Gasper. We'll see you tomorrow.